run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of fun.
Rogers! Discount double check!
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
I don't wish that girl any bad luck, but I hope she gets hit with a car.
What's happening?
That would be great.
Okay.
Happy holidays, my friend.
Happy holidays to you. I
put together a little ditty. Like to hear them?
I would like to hear
them. Hey, are y'all excited for Memorial Day weekend?
Buy me a beer, I'll see what I can work on.
Memorial Day is typically marked by the firing of large guns.
Firearms enthusiasts taking their guns out to public places.
You shouldn't take guns with you, they're dangerous.
That's us, that's right, gotta love this American ride.
I'd like to do something different this Memorial Day weekend.
I set up a whole backyard party.
We just had this big propane torch.
We're gonna trap and barbecue a vegan.
That's us. American ride.
Memorial Day weekend. Break out the grill. Kick off the unofficial start of summer.
Would you like to hear another ditty?
I wouldn't mind it.
Really?
I have another one.
Okay. Here we go. Sit back and relax and
waiting for
enjoy.
The weekend to come. I'm gonna get my drinking on. Throw some hot dogs on the grill. I'm gonna eat until I make myself ill.
Excuse me.
Waiting on Memorial Day. I'll take off my shirt and scare the neighbors away. Waiting on Memorial Day. 1 hour at a time. Don't need no fancy boat. Swimwear. I plan to spend the next 3 days now. Passed out in a folding chair.
Yep, that's me. In your backyard.
Waiting on Memorial Day. How many 12-ounce cans can I put away?
36. Check.
A lot. It's a case to have.
Memorial Day. 1 hour at a time.
Thank you for being the conductor on that. That's what you call vibrato. I don't know if you know when you go that.
I can do that.
Can you?
Any time I want. I just don't want to.
Didn't think so.
I wouldn't try it. I can sing. I do sing tenor, though, a little tenor.
10 or 12?
About 10 or 12 miles from where you'd want me to sing. Any about 10 or 12 miles away.
Superstar, what are you going to do with 3 days off in a row? My God, you're going to miss me.
Sounds kind of like the ditty. Little ditty. Well, I love you, you know.
You're going to miss me.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have been saying that I hate you. I don't hate you. I hate Bob Sansevier. But I do. I hate Bob Sansevier.
Yeah, well,
I love you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to miss you for 3 days.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm probably going to, like the little ditty that we just played there, mm-hmm. I'm probably going to have some hot dogs out on the big green egg.
Nice.
You've done
why
that
do
before.
Why do hot dogs when you can have a brat?
Well, brats or brats.
Or Polish.
Yeah. Well, we had those.
Some real deal wieners.
Oh, well, we did. For the Pacquiao Mayweather fight.
You know what's in a hot dog. Like chicken beaks and rats and
chicken beaks
and
I'm from
horse
Iowa,
intestines
dog.
And stuff.
I'm from Iowa.
I know, and I'll eat a hot dog with
but
the best of them.
Dubuque, the ballpark Franks. I think they're called Dubuque. I think some of the best hot dogs in all of the country is made right there in Iowa. And of course, the superstar Mike Morris has been through the plant, and I've seen everything that goes into a hot dog. And you're right, chicken beaks.
Yep.
And everything else.
And talons. Talons are my favorite.
I mean, that's probably the best and the most edible thing in a hot dog, and I'll have six. Not a problem.
Nobody's saying, I mean, I'm looking it up there right now. What is it exactly in a hot dog? And they're telling me it's water, fillers, salt, preservatives.
Yeah, they do. They have everything
meat.
In them.
But let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What's really in a hot dog? And it's probably your cat.
You know what? It's awful good then. And it's not going to slow me down.
No,
one of my favorite things in the summertime. Back out on the grill is a hot dog. And I'm not talking about brats or you know, Polish sausage or anything else. I mean brats. I mean hot dogs, straight hot dogs. I love all beef hot dogs.
You don't like the hot dogs that have pig snouts or chicken feathers in there?
Take them. I don't care. Mm. I mean, I'll eat them.
You'll eat
pig snouts and chicken
feathers.
It hasn't killed me. It hasn't made me sick yet.
Huh.
Sauerkraut. Mustard. Maybe a little relish from time to time, but that's about all it needs. You know what? You can put a little mayo on a hot dog and not kill it.
Really?
But you never. I mean, no one. And I mean, no one puts ketchup on a hot dog.
I do.
Nobody.
I do. Sorry.
Apparently, you haven't seen Sudden Impact.
I haven't.
Come on, man.
You know what I'm really upset about today? And this has nothing to do with sports. 19 Kids and Counting. You know that TV show?
I've rolled through that one. I don't stop on it.
Every Tuesday night. I tape that sumbitch. After I'm done just lifting the weights like a manly thing, I come home and I watch
some iron now. You got the weight bug going on.
Yeah, I went up 5 pounds in every lift last night, 5 pounds on each side of the things. Ooh. I'm doing 50 dumbbells over the head, and I'm getting there, man. I'm doing my best, but
good for you.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Man, I'm telling you what.
But 19 Kids and Counting, they took it off the air because one of the kids is like touching some of the other kids, and it's not good.
Crap,
so
bat.
You think you're watching the show of the, ooh, like the perfect family.
There's never has there been a perfect family that numbered not. 19.
Well, even when you have a perfect family, something's going to happen.
There's always a turd. There's always a turd in there.
Nobody has the perfect family. Everybody right. makes mistakes, but when you're a chomo, really? that's obviously the worst thing you could possibly be. So first they took off Whale Wars, Animal Planet did, because some country was upset. My favorite show, and then now 19 Kids and Counting. What am I going to do?
Well, here's what you do.
What am I going to do?
Here's what you do. It's not in the season yet.
I need more Bruce Jenner.
Well,
is what I need.
Oh,
I think
my.
I saw Bruce Jenner today when I went out to lunch. By the way, I looked. I was like, "Is that? Oh, wait, what?"
I saw him yesterday down at the ballpark.
I know we did.
It was either Bruce Jenner or the Chiquita Banana gal.
Right.
I was one of the two.
I thought she was Chiquita Banana. You thought she was Bruce Jenner.
I thought so.
Yeah.
You got to start watching that Pit Bulls and Payrollies. That's a good show.
Is it?
Yeah, but we're between seasons right now. But that's a good show.
She
saves Pit Bulls and she saves she gives Parolees another chance.
I cannot watch shows with dogs in them. Although I used to all the time. I used to watch the Dog Whisperer. I can't.
See, now it's Caesar 911.
Because my dog gets so irate and will bark and scream and claw at the
TV.
So
you got one of those dogs.
I can't watch
they react
anything.
To the TV. Oh yeah.
I can't watch anything with animals. And
Sherlock
in fact,
does that a little bit, not much.
Sherlock would destroy a TV. Your dog is big. Mine, I just have a little pug, but he gets pissed.
My dog loves Pit Bulls and Payrollies. I say Payrollies. I like that. But that's a great show. You have to watch it because that's a really cool show. Everyone gets a second chance. The dogs do. They rescue dogs. They rescue. You know, the parolees are coming through. Mm-hmm. They work for her. And so Tia takes good care of them. There are several other shows. River Monsters is just fantastic.
That's a good one.
It's Monster Week right now, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, Sunday it's going to culminate with Cannibal in the Jungle. It's going to be a great show.
Oh.
Cannibal in the Jungle.
What did you think of the CHS field last night? You and I walked in. I had to use a little bit of a restroom, and then you disappeared on me, and then I disappeared on you.
I was looking for you. I don't know where you went.
I was looking for you.
What?
I ended up talking to a couple of ladies.
Well,
that's what,
so that's what happened.
I kind of got derailed, but I was looking for where I had left you, and you were gone.
I
waited
right there. I was by the rail looking at the procession going around the inside of the ballpark because they were playing When the Saints Come Marching In, and that's what they did. And then the Saints baseball team followed the procession out, a little parade line, and walked around the outside of the field. Mm. Well, yeah. And so I was waiting on you.
I was waiting on you.
Gone. You were gone.
You were gone. That's what I felt like.
You're difficult. You're a difficult man sometimes. You're difficult right now.
Well, I went to the urination station, washed my hands, came out looking for my guy, and my guy was nowhere to be found, so I walked...
How do you miss me?
Right next to a woman that had the same sunglasses on that I have. And you don't find these red sunglasses anywhere.
A match is made.
Yeah. Getting married next weekend. And I need you to be the
because
pastor.
You had something in common. I'll marry your ass up.
Okay, thank you.
I'll get you guys right.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful ballpark, by the way.
It is.
Beautiful ballpark. We're talking about, you know, minor league baseball. I don't even know what level the Saints are. Were they 2A?
No, they're below. They're below single A.
So that is what? Okay.
So the Twins have AAA, AA, single A, high A, low A. They're below that.
It's a, well then, for a team like that, hell of a ballpark.
Yeah.
entertainment beyond belief. When you go out here to watch them at CHS Field, you're going to see nothing but entertainment. I mean, Mike Vec is going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Anytime you go down there for any St. Paul Saint game, new digs now. The team is pretty good. It's always they play good baseball. They play a good brand of baseball, not great, but the show and the spectacle of it. And now the stadium and the view and everything. You go down there early enough, you can just go down there with your dog and like walk your dog around the place. It's unbelievable. The animals we saw yesterday.
That was awesome. I love St. Paul so much. I just want to live down there, and I'm working on that in the meantime. One thing I didn't really like when we talked to Mayor Chris Coleman yesterday was when I said, okay, are you expecting this area to explode? And he said, well, what do you think about it? It's one of the hippest areas, one of the hippest zip codes in all of the United States of America. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I know there are apartment buildings and condos all over the place that are expensive as all get out. I had to walk like three blocks to find the Bulldog. That was the closest restaurant. And I know the one right across the street, but I wanted an adult beverage. I wanted a beer. They didn't have it at the Heartland right across the street.
They did.
You couldn't get beer.
Yeah.
You could?
Yeah.
But it was like a deli. I wanted something like...
Well, you were talking about a beer.
8,500 people coming down to this. I mean, they're going to want to hang out at Kieran's or Hubert's or the office, obviously, where we go on Friday home games. There are tons of places around Target Field. That's what I was talking about. And I really hope that that kind of explodes around that area.
It's going to. I know they'd be foolish. I mean, business-minded people, entrepreneurs are looking at that area right now. They have to be.
Especially with the fact that they said there's like 150 dates that they're going to have something, whether it be baseball, concerts, Grill Fest,
What a place.
Farmers markets down there. People want places to eat and drink in St. Paul, and there just aren't as many, say, on the other side of town on West 7th Street by the XL Energy Center. It's packed.
Those things are going to open everywhere. Retail and bars, different establishments to be able to have a cocktail before you go into the game or a meal before or after the game.
Sure. But did you see the way Chris Coleman looked at me, the mayor of St. Paul? He looked at me like I had three heads.
And you don't?
Well,
what
I
do
did
you mean?
Yesterday.
He didn't look at you funny, did he?
No, he was not happy with me. What do you mean? This is all this is the hippest neighborhood in the United States of America. And I get that. It is. It's great. I want to live there.
Okay.
It's amazing. It's an amazing part of town. There couldn't be a better place for the CHS Field to be. I just want more bars and restaurants. That's all I'm asking, and that's not too much.
What's not the hippest place in all of the United States?
He said it's one of the top zip codes.
He's looked into that, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. He knows everything. I mean, he's the mayor, for God's sakes. He's the president of St. Paul.
Let me ask you.
Okay.
How does one go about finding out what is the hippest anywhere, blah, 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 blah? How do you Google it?
Google it?
And so what is the survey? Who surveys the hippest? It's subjective to whomever lives in that area.
It's probably, obviously, money. Who makes the most money per zip code or what? The housing costs. I mean, you get a condo down in that area, it's like at least $400,000.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Ridiculously expensive. That's why I need to steal money from you so I can buy a place down there.
We'll get you squared away.
Heck of a show today. In fact, we're going to continue our St. Paul Saints discussion. We'll talk to my co-host on Saturday afternoons from 5 to 7, Sean Aronson. He's the voice of the St. Paul Saints on the radio. The St. Paul Saints games right here on 105 The Ticket every Saturday home game. 4.5 questions. We didn't get to many of them yesterday because... the mayor took over our time.
Wow. You've got it out for him.
That's fine. I love him.
You don't like him.
No, I love him to death. Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense.
You've told me. See, there's another example of someone you don't like.
No, I love Marsh Hallberg.
You've told me off air that you don't like him.
That's not true. Jim Rich from Fox 9, Hardball, Mike
Once
Berardino.
Again, why don't you like people?
Tom Schreier, the Minnesota Timberwolves, got the first pick at the exact right time. His new article, Why Drafting Carl Anthony Towns Makes Basketball Sense. Trying to convince people in Minneapolis-St. Paul that the Timberwolves need Carl Anthony Towns. And there was a great article that I came across on Medium.com. And we'll go over that. We'll take your calls, all this stuff. A couple of mics breaks in there. We're giving away even more passes to the Midwest Mopars in the park next weekend. The same thing next weekend. We have more passes for the City Pages Beer Festival. Got a heck of a show going on today, so we got to get going. Let's get started.
It's big time.
Stop lollygagging.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of you. The voice of the St. Paul Saints, right? Sean Aronson. That's who you're doing the gig with now?
Yep.
All summer long, right?
Yep.
Okay, so let's come back and talk to him right here at Radioactive Sports.
Get your Twins inside update every weekday. Hardball with Mike Berrettino of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Terry Ryan came back from his visit and was pleased with Buxton and said that everything is progressing properly. He just needs the bat to catch up. Well, the bat seems to be lagging here lately. I would have to think he's a little bit lost, and that's what Double A is for.
Hardball with Mike Berrettino. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink every Monday through Friday afternoon at 5:30 with Radioactive Sports 105 The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports 105 The Ticket.
Totes my goats.
Hello.
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 I said hello.
Hello.
Cool whip. Take that, you bastard.
Oh, yeah.
You like a broken arm? You want a broken arm? There, have a broken arm. When the Saints come marching in, now that's what you are going to be all about.
I can't wait.
All summer long.
Cannot wait.
And your newfound...
Yeah, I'm kicking you to the curb. I can only handle 5 days of you. And then I need one day with Sean Aronson, my new homeboy. Down in Lower Town, St. Paul. Live in Lower Town is what the show's called. Saturday home games before the home games.
You're sure that's what it's going to be called?
A live from Lower Town. I know Sean. Sean's on the phone right now. Sean, you want to tell everybody what you wanted to call the show?
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to go with the Jew and the Gentile.
Since
I am Jewish and...
I'm a Gentile.
Perfect.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that got vetoed real fast. So,
yeah, it was unfortunate.
I don't know why. I don't know.
I think that's what we're going to call each other, though. The Jew and the Gentile, live from Lower Town, CHS Field, right before
I'm
the season.
I'm good with that. See, that's perfect.
Yeah, you know that Vec is going to be good with that. I mean, he likes that.
Of course. We need to get some sort of outfit, too, because we're going to be right outside the front gate where I can... I'm not really sure what a Gentile wears, but I'm sure I can go back and get some sort of outfit. And then you can look like a rabbi. It'll be awesome.
Oh, that's easy. Yeah. No problem.
Voice of the St. Paul Saints, Sean Aronson. How did it go last night at CHS Field? We were down there. We saw first part of the game, and then we had to take off. But we're going to plan to be down there several times this summer. And just an unbelievable venue you guys have down there.
Yeah, the atmosphere was incredible. It was off the hook last night, and it was about 8,500 of our closest friends. And someone remarked in the office, it felt like we invited everyone to this intimate gathering, and they were just excited to be there. It was unlike anything that I could have expected. People were here. They were walking around. They were checking everything out. They were into the game. They were into the entertainment. The night was gorgeous. It was just a perfect night all the way around.
It really was. The voice of the St. Paul Saints, Sean Aronson. I was amazed by the architecture and the materials put into that stadium. And then, of course, you walk inside after we're done with the broadcast out front. We walked inside. That was my first chance to see the field and how it was sort of put together inside.
Christine.
And it was unbelievable. Just, there isn't a wasted square foot. And they have the procession going on around the outside, the warning track. And all the people come marching in. You're right. It was quaint. It was the old school St. Paul Saints in their new digs. So, I mean, you invited the old crowd over and they showed up.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, and it's good to hear you say that, Mike, because a lot of people that have come into the ballpark, that's the reaction. They're almost in awe of what CHS Field is. And, you know, we've been showing this place off for the last 2 months since we moved in, and we were finally able to put on a show last night. I mean, for a couple of months here, it was just the ballpark, and as each step it went along in getting put together. But last night was our one moment to shine, and I thought we did a tremendous job on the biggest stage that we've had probably since the organization opened up back in 1993.
I couldn't agree more, and thanks for having us to be part of opening day, too. My favorite part part of the St. Paul Saints. It's still Mike Vec. It's still Sean Aronson. It's still the Saints. It's still Fun Is Good. It's still the pig, Pablo Picasso, I think is your mascot this year. It's everything that Midway was moved over to just this beautiful place, and it has a plethora of food and large aisles. People can go wherever they want to and not have to wait in line. I mean, I thought, oh, God, there are so many people here. I got to run to the restroom. This is going to take forever. It didn't. Some other teams move into their new places, and they become a little bit too big for their britches, but it's everything everybody loves about the St. Paul Saints into this brand-new building, and you're not changing. You're still the same old great Saints. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, and that's the thing. People kept asking, are you guys going to change here in this brand-new ballpark? What's going to be different? And I kept telling people, the only thing that's going to be different is you're going to be a little more comfortable in this ballpark now. But everything that you come to know and love at Midway, we're bringing over. The entertainment side was created by the front office staff. We put our heads together. We spent a lot of time in the offseason, and nobody from the offseason changed from the last year at Midway to here. So we knew how to do that. And the other side, people build friendships out here at the ballpark. So now they have an opportunity to build a larger circle of friends because new people are going to be checking out the Saints, and you're just going to have a chance to meet new people coming out here. And I think last night was a true testament to that. I've joked with people who have asked, are you going to change now this year in the new ballpark? And I keep telling people, I was a jerk at Midway. I'll be a jerk at Midway.
Of course. You have to remain constant, and that's the common denominator. And look, I think it's going to get better because not just the new ballpark, but everything. It's downtown now too. It's lower town. It's St. Paul. It is St. Paul. Like the St. Paul. Midway was a little removed from all that. You have the retail around you. You have some hip places to go, have a bite, have a drink, go in, enjoy the game, whatever the case, and it's all right there. And the organization itself, Vec, all the way through, they do things right. They think about things. They put together some really cool things to entertain the fans that come in there. And they've done it right for a long, long time. So they know how to do this. And it's just going to get better and better as you guys go along. And people are going to come out. You build it, and they will come, just like Field of Dreams.
Yeah, no doubt. And the best thing that Mike Vec does, and he talks about this all the time, he says, I hire the best people for what they're interested in doing, and then I get out of their way. Nobody around here is micromanaged. And, each of us has four different hats that we wear in minor league baseball. That's just the way it works. And we all came together as a collective whole to get this done, over the last several months to be prepared for last night. And, just talking to the rest of my coworkers, we couldn't have been happier for the way last night went. And look, anytime you open up a brand new ballpark, I'm sure you're going to have hiccups here and there, but, they were very, very minor, in comparison of what we could have. I thought we were as ready as we could have been last night.
You're talking to the voice of the St. Paul Saints, Sean Aronson. Sean and I will be doing a show from 5 till just a little bit before 7 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket on every Saturday home game. Now, Sean, one question that I wanted to ask you in all the news reports that I was reading and some of the things that we had talked about off the radio, but the capacity of the ballpark listed at around 7,000 people. You fit a little over 8,500 people in there last night. How did that work out?
Actually, pretty good. We could have gone a lot more, and our ownership group is in town. They made a wise decision to stop selling standing room only tickets at a certain point because they wanted the operation of the facility to run smoothly. We could have probably packed 9,500, 10,000 in here easily. You obviously run into fire code. I don't know what that number is, but they didn't want to go over that for obvious reasons. But you didn't want to be so full around here that, it was like a can of sardines and it would be tough to move around. And, our concessionaires and our food and beverage people were going to have trouble serving people. So they made a conscious decision to cap it at a certain point. It was 85 and change last night. And, it operated well. And we'll learn as we go. Look, we're not perfect by any means, but we'll learn from day to day. And hate to use a tired cliche, but you take it day by day around here, and just we'll learn from a little bit from last night, we'll learn a little bit from tonight. We've got a 50 game home schedule, and we'll get it right at some point.
I think you're doing it right. I think the whole thing, from the way the stadium is built, where it is, the kinds of things that are going to happen in that place, you guys are doing it right. And just like one of the Bill Murray movies, I think it was I want to say it was
Caddyshack, Space Jam, Groundhog Day.
No. What about Bob?
Oh, what about Bob?
Baby steps. Baby steps. I mean, I think that that's how you grow into this new ballpark. Make sure you can handle everything, the people at the concessions, the selling points, and that. And you will know from game to game, week in, week out, how you're going to be able to do this and make it bigger and better.
No doubt. You know, the people, you know, we talked about the change and all that. The biggest change that I've seen so far is people outside of this organization are calling us classy now. 22 years, no one calls us classy. All of a sudden, we're this classy organization. I'm not really sure where that came from.
Yeah, that's kind of a stretch when you think about the old Midway and the old train running behind the old Midway Stadium.
Yeah, I love it, too. And I don't know if it's because I'm on the one end of a millennial. I'm on the, you know, born in the early 80s. But you have other things than just the typical seats in a baseball ballpark. You have the boxes, of course. You have stools at a bar rail. You have the grass berm. You can sit, you can stand from anywhere in the stadium and watch the game. If you're on one part, if you're on the grass berm or out by my favorite part, the craft beer bar on the left field, that's where you'll probably find me. I'll be eyeballing you while you're at the press box, but I'll be at the press or at the beer stand. But then you see a beautiful area of downtown St. Paul. You just couldn't have done it any better, and we're so proud to be part of it. Sean Aronson, the voice of the St. Paul Saints, and of course, tomorrow from 5 to 6, 6:45, you and I will be on the radio together live from CHS Field. We're calling it Live from Lower Town with the Jew and the Gentile.
Nice.
I love it. I can't wait. I'm excited. This is the first time for me, so I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. I'll be down there. I got my credentials yesterday.
Perfect.
I'm using them. I'm going to use them. I'm coming down there, and I still have to try the burger, the Grand Slam.
So you do. I want to see that.
So
I want to get that on video and post it to our Twitter page, and because I think how long? I mean, Sean, how fast do you think the superstar can eat it?
Oh, man, I think it will take them all 9 innings just to eat it. Seriously. There's no way.
Honest to God, it'll be a minute. I swear to God, 1.5 minutes maybe, 3, 4, 5 bites, and it'll be done. This guy is a maniac when it comes to food.
I know it. I know it. Three-quarter pounders that I was eating. Remember at the Wild Times?
Yep.
I was eating them in 54 seconds. Three-quarter pounder. I had 5 of them.
Jeez.
Yeah, I had 5. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We can ask Sansa for that one.
But I definitely
did do that. But Sean Aronson, the voice of the St. Paul Saints, thank you very much, and thanks for the great time last night.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Take care. We'll see you tomorrow.
Fascinating. You guys are going to make a good pair. I think you guys
we like to have fun, but we're both goofy, but we get down to the nitty-gritty when we have to be serious. We're serious about it, but we're really going to teach you everything you need to know about CHS Field. A lot of what the Minnesota Twins did when they opened Target Field. There are so many things that fans don't know or won't see, but I think are very important for the community to know that the St. Paul Saints are a great neighbor and a great venue to have as part of St. Paul, and I think the community really needs to know that.
CHS being behind it because they've been down there all this time. This whole time, 85 years ago, they started down there. CHS did.
62nd biggest company in the United States.
600.
Nobody knows who they are.
1,000 farmers co-op. CHS. So it was a great place. Get down there if you haven't seen it. Get down there and see this ballpark and go in and watch the St. Paul Saints. 4.5 questions are up next. Radioactive Sports.
2 legendary races, 1 day. This Sunday, the Indianapolis 500 at 10 a.m. and the Coca-Cola 600 at 4 p.m. Memorial Day Sunday, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
People around this place are probably starting to think that I'm not perhaps the sharpest knife on the tree or the brightest bulb in the drawer, but you know what I have to say to those people, don't you?
Super Bowl homeboy.
No, Randy, I don't say that. I say whatever. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
All right.
4.5 questions.
4.5 questions.
A bunch of doozies. Ready for these? These are big ones. These are serious
all
business.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I don't. There's no messing around when it comes to 4.5 questions. That's why we have a whole segment of 4.5 questions because it's a big deal.
It always is.
And
it's not just today. It's always a big deal when we get to 4.5 questions.
You have a big head, so I'm hoping there's a big brain in there. So that's why I come to you when I have questions about
things. It's a logical thing to do.
Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer said he thinks he has an indication of when Adrian Peterson will show up at Winter Park, but that's all he said. He didn't provide a date, adding, quote, it's up to Adrian, really. He's the guy you should ask. We don't like our players here. And all of the workouts are voluntary until June 16th through 18th. That's when the mandatory minicamp is, so the three, four weeks away. If AP misses those dates, he could be fined more than $70,000 and lose his $250,000 workout bonus. Will we see Adrian Peterson here in a couple of weeks, or will it be training camp, or not at all, or later, or, I mean, when's Adrian Peterson coming?
I think he normally stays in Texas. I mean, I think that's his normal thing all these years.
But mandatory minicamp he has
to be
at.
Well, minicamp, he'll be here.
June 16th, he'll be here.
Yeah. If he's smart, he'll show up.
It's only $70,000 though. The guy makes $15 million.
It's mandatory. It's mandatory. And if you start skipping those, you don't want to rock the boat again. You had a pretty tough.
The boat's pretty rocked.
It's rocked. Get your ass back into camp. I would think and hope that he would want to get back in his shoulder pads, in the groove, back with his teammates. You can't just show up after what's happened and just jump in the locker room and just be okay with everything. No. Come back in there and have a good attitude and step back into it and start letting this other stuff smooth out. He doesn't have to be here before that. He works out like a monster. Just show up when you have to. The mandatory stuff. Training camp, the mini camps are important. And they're mandatory. The OTAs, not that big a deal at all. They're optional.
That's what he's been missing.
That's fine. He doesn't have to be at OTAs. They're organized team activities.
Even though the coach would like him to be there.
We never went to him. I never trained at Winter Park.
It was a different day and time, though. Most NFL teams have most of their guys there during organized team activities, don't you think?
If you're quarterback and wide receivers, I think they ought to be there so they can start, running and throwing. I really do. Just on their own somewhere. I think it's also very healthy to get away from that place. You spend so much time once football season starts, you're there from early morning until late at night. It's dark when you get there. It's dark when you go home at night. Get away from that. Be with your family. Go hang out and do things you like to do. Lift weights and get in shape. I mean, it's your job. It's your job. If you don't like your job and you show up and you're soft and you don't know what you're doing, you're not in shape, you're going to get cut.
So you
have to protect your career.
Question number two, with the Timberwolves now the center of next month's NBA draft. Report came out this week that Ricky Rubio's entourage has been pushing Ricky to try and get out of Minnesota. Obviously, this was probably before he signed his $55 million extension, but Ricky said at an event in Barcelona, I want to say it was Wednesday, that he doesn't want to leave Minnesota. And why would he? I mean, he's a star here. He walks down the street and everybody wants a piece of Ricky Rubio. And he can't even shoot a basketball, really. He's injured all the time. So if he went to a big market, fans would be all over him for not playing very often. I wouldn't be surprised if Flip does eventually trade him at some point, but it's nice to hear him say he wants to stay here, don't you think? I mean, that and Carl Anthony Towns saying it would be a blessing to play in Minnesota. Before, Minnesota was the place you don't want to go, especially if you're an NBA player.
You had better take a look at how good you've got it before you think you're going to go somewhere else just because. You got the big deal. You got the big contract. These people are supposed to be, the voice of reason for someone like this. The last thing they should be doing is trying to move him somewhere where you're right. If he goes somewhere else after his track record is injury, 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 shows up, is pretty good, still can't shoot really. Got the shot coach in town from Los Angeles. Forget his name.
Mike Penberthy.
He's in town. Supposedly that was working for a while. We would have never really known because he can't stay on the court because he rolled his ankle badly, which happens in basketball. I feel bad for him. But the best thing that could happen for Rubio is that he would be here and stay healthy and have these new parts of the team that he can play. If Cat shows up and Wiggins and with all the other players that we have mentioned and named, and love is gone, so the bad chemistry is out. It's Ricky's team to be able to take this thing over as a point guard and run the show. he could really be something. I mean, he really, really could be something else. He'd stay healthy.
I mean, you saw how the team was just completely different when Ricky Rubio was on the court than when he wasn't on the court. Granted, he doesn't score a lot of points, but he plays good defense, he's such
slick.
A great field general, and he's a facilitator. He finds open people. He makes his teammates better, which is, I think, very important to have on your team.
Ricky should stay here and know how good it's going to be here someday if he can just stay healthy.
Question number three, another thing that's nice to hear is that Karl-Anthony Towns, a consensus number one pick in the NBA draft, by the smartest people reporting on and working in the NBA, said it would be a blessing if he was picked by the Wolves, just like that. Kind of going back to what we talked about Ricky Rubio, the Wolves aren't the abyss of the country's second most popular professional sport with men 18 to 34. The Lakers have the prestige, the cap room. They don't have the players, though, but they do have all the pressure. Are the Wolves on the fast track to be one of the most watched franchises next year, like they were when Ricky Rubio came over that first year and NBA League Pass had the Minnesota Timberwolves as the number one watched franchise in all of the NBA until he got injured?
I mean, this is kind of the cool place to be now. It's not that flyover zone anymore. I mean, this is going to change up real quick. The addition of a few players and Flip, full credit to Flip for making the best out of the Kevin Love thing. And re-jocking the money in such a way where we now have a really, really decent chance at finally advancing and getting into the playoffs and making a nice run. Everything from the Love trade, the things we got back from that, you know, somehow we figure a way to get the number one selection, right? Let's get that right. It brings back Kevin Garnett. If we can just find a way to get Rubio out there and some of these other players to actually now add their piece to this puzzle. I mean, that we have the veterans with these new kids, it's a really good combination. I think it's a good combination. Zach LaVine, we're in good shape. I think we're in good shape. It is no longer the place you don't want to be.
Yeah, I can't even believe I'm going to say this because summer is my favorite month, and it only lasts like a week and a half here anyway in Minnesota. But I just want football and basketball. Football, basketball, Vikings and Timberwolves, please, dear God, come back. Not so bullish, I guess, on the Minnesota Wild because I don't really know what they're going to do yet. They need a little bit more time in the offseason to figure out what kind of changes they may or may not make or what direction they're going to go in next year. But I don't know. Timberwolves, please, dear God, take what's his nuts? Carl Anthony Towns.
Oh, C-A-T, the big C. You go by C-A-T or K-A-T for Kentucky?
Carl. Well, it's Carl with a K.
Okay. Well, you know what?
I'm forgetting more and more and more. Your dementia is contagious, and
it's hurting. A horrible thing. It's a bad
hurting,
thing.
It's hurting me inside.
I you'll get over it, though. In fact, by tomorrow, you'll forget it's even happening.
Question four, the Twins, six games above 500, thanks to Joe Mauer's game-winning home run Wednesday night in Pittsburgh, his first of the year. We haven't really said many bad things or been too frustrated with our hometown hero so far this year. Madison Bumgarner, though, tied Joe Mauer last night. He's the unbelievable pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, who basically single-handedly won them the World Series last year.
He's a horse.
He hit a home run last night. So he's a pitcher. He has as many home runs as Joe Mauer does.
He's a monster, though.
He's not big, though. It's not like he's built.
He's
a scrawny-looking dude.
They have a commercial of with him.
I'll show you a picture.
On TV, and he's chopping wood with, like, an axe. He looks like a badass.
Looks like, but isn't.
Pretty good-sized dude, isn't he?
No, he's
a big old
skinny
redneck, isn't he?
No, he's skinny. Pretty skinny. I mean, here's him throwing a pitch. He's okay. It's not one of those beast cakes. But anyway, the question is, is Joe Mauer earning his $23 million salary this year?
Was he ever?
I think he signed the contract when he won, I think it was a gold glove, the batting title and the MVP or the trifecta, whatever it was. Yeah, that year before he actually signed the $23 million contract. But I don't know.
It's hard to put a price tag on a player, any player, football, baseball, basketball, football, and hockey, $23 million. That's what you come up with for a baseball player, $23 million. Is he that much better than the next guy at $10 million or $14 million? I mean, that's a lot of damn money. What does it take to earn, what you asked me, to earn $23 million? Are we saying that just because he's playing better baseball and he's back to being just the normal guy that he was?
That's what I'm asking.
He's now,
don't get mad at me.
No,
I'm
mad at you.
Question.
No, I'm mad at you. And I hate you.
I know you do.
I don't know. I think that he's doing, if he lit the place up and threw huge numbers up all the time, which he hasn't done in a while, You'd say, okay, that's the kind of guy I guess you pay $23 million to, but I don't understand it, though.
Here are the top 10 highest-paid players in baseball this year. You tell me if they make their money. Clayton Kershaw, number one, $30 million a year.
Pretty good pitcher.
Justin Verlander, $28 million this year.
Pretty good pitcher. He has a cute girlfriend.
Yeah, he hasn't been so great this year. Just Josh Hamilton, $23 million this year.
He's having fun.
Not on the ball field.
That's for sure. No, quite frankly, I don't think his numbers are very good right now, are they?
Are they? He's even playing.
I don't know.
Cliff Lee, number four, $25 million this year.
No.
Ryan Howard, $25 million.
No.
Zach Greinke, $23 million.
No.
Felix Hernandez, $24 million.
He's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
He's still young, too.
Yeah.
Albert Pujols, $24 million.
I think his numbers are way down. He's not even remotely close to what he was in St. Louis.
Way down is an understatement. Prince Fielder, $24 million.
No. No way.
And then, of course, there's Robinson Cano, about $24 million
that's
as well.
That's a good player.
To play baseball!
I know. I don't get it. I don't know how much. What is so special about those kinds of players that you just mentioned? And anyone else?
They had a great year right before their contract came due.
Well, that's it.
Boom.
That's it. Because if you take their numbers and their leadership and everything else they bring to the table, and then you compare that to, say, like a Torrey Hunter, $10 million. Are they that much better?
I don't know.
Do they bring that much more to the table?
I don't think so.
A couple of those players, sure.
I mean, Robinson Cano, I like what he does. Felix Hernandez, they're both on the Seattle Mariners. But the Philadelphia... Philadelphia Phillies got screwed a little bit with those huge contracts. Cliff Lee, Ryan Howard, they're both kind of falling off a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course, Josh Hamilton making $24 million a year.
He's in some deep trouble because
he had some relapse in drug and alcohol problems. Albert Pujols, ever since he signed his massive contract, has been not worthless, but definitely a giant disappointment for the Los Angeles Angels.
Not the same anymore. There's no question about it.
Four and a half questions. The half question right here, word association. Tell me one word. What comes to mind when I say these two words together? Mike Tice. You played for him, for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
He's your coach.
I would say...
Doofus?
I'm going to say dagger.
Dagger?
Mm-hmm.
Why dagger?
I still have him in my back from Mike Tice. So there you have it. I'll say dagger.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd say one thing to your face and then talk about something else behind your back.
Well, Mike Tice is involved in a lawsuit.
Oh, really?
And so we'll talk to Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense, who comes in next. Love having Marsh Hallberg, a friend of the show. He's part of our favorite part of Fridays. Talk to you about the lawsuit that a lot of NFL players are suing former coaches, including Don Shula, Mike Holmgren, Mike Tice, Wayne Fonts.
What the hell? Wayne Fonts, the old Detroit Lion coach.
Yeah, and we'll tell you all about that with Marshy Marsh and the Funky Bunch coming up.
All that next.
On Deck Radio with Pete Wagner and former Twins Gene Larkin and Al Newman.
Dan, glad.
What do you see that Molly's trying to do to implement his way of doing things?
Well, I think the first thing that jumped out is, you know, Molly's kind of the quiet messenger, whereas Gardy, I think, wore his emotions more on his sleeve. You know, I think Molitor's more the calm guy, and I think the guys kind of respond to that a little bit differently.
Tune in On Deck Radio, Saturday mornings at 11. Wall-to-wall baseball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
Some bitch is slick, ain't it?
Well, I don't get the rain, the head comb.
Butt fumble.
And there is your dagger!
Just pulling it out of your back right now. How did that? I mean, that was in there for a long time. That was like impacted, and there was a crusty skin that was kind of growing.
Well, there was more than one too. I mean, so I probably should have said daggers because everyone that I know got a few of those in their backs. So I need some painkillers.
Why was Mike Tice such a jackass?
I wish I could tell you, but man, are you right? I mean, it's just the way it is. It's the way it is. He's
That, I thought he was a player's coach, and all the players loved him. And
not only did I play under him as my offensive line coach and whatnot, but I played with Mike for a long time. With the Vikings, he was a tight end here, and I was playing. I must have played 4 or 5 years with him here. I also played with him with the Redskins for 1 year.
Wow! So you knew him well.
Real well.
So over the decade that you knew him, just constant backstabbing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Everybody.
What a jerk.
Oh, I got stories.
What a jerk.
Yeah, he's just an amazing guy. I can't believe he's still in the NFL. I'll never believe. Ever to this day that he was a head coach in this league.
And then people kept giving him opportunities to be an offensive coordinator,
too. Well,
he's
the biggest suck-up in the world. The biggest suck-up in the world.
That sucks.
The biggest brown noser.
I hate people like that, but I hate most people.
I know you do.
Superstar Mike Morris, I'm Ben Holson, joined now by Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense. It's always good to have you here in the studio because Fridays are our favorite day.
It's the big day.
Yeah.
It may be a Memorial Day weekend, but it's, Rock Band or Tomato Friday.
That's right, it is.
Which dwarfs Memorial Day.
It does.
So you and Tice don't exchange, Christmas cards and birthday cards,
No. I think that...
Because I feel the love as we say.
I'm very open about some people. And I'm very willing to go that direction with him or Chris Carter. So.
Yeah, okay, because you talk about Chris Carter quite often. Which one do you despise more?
Yeah, Chris Carter,
Wow. Chris Carter Moore. Is it a 1A, 1B type of thing or 1 and 2?
So on a 1 to 100, let's have a rating. A 1 to 100.
Okay.
So if we got the hate scale is 100.
Okay.
Where's Chris Carter and where's Tice on that,
Good way to put that. So we got a range of 100. 100 being absolutely the worst thing
worst
that ever happened.
Worst person that you've ever just hate their guts.
Yeah, that's Carter at 100.
Okay.
And Tice sitting in there at about 85.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's significant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And Holson, Ben, he's around, 93, 94?
105. I break the mold. I'm at 105, domestic radio station.
98.6. I give 110%. Yeah. That's impossible, but anyway.
Yeah, those two guys kind of grind on my, they grind my gears.
It's all right.
Sorry.
Remember when we had Jerry Zagoda on earlier this week, and he called me a phony? Remember that?
And you are.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. Now he's tweeting it, on random days. Hey, you big phony, just for no reason. You're the biggest fake I know.
Zagoda loves you.
He gets, he's just getting so upset because I'm posting on Twitter why the Timberwolves need to draft Karl-Anthony Towns. And then I'm giving him little shots. Please, Jerry Zagoda, put it in Flip Saunders' ear that we need to draft Karl-Anthony Towns. It's not messing around here. This is serious business. And he responds, you're a big phony.
Well, you're on a one-man crusade here. We know that you're focused. You laser beam for Towns.
I'm
it's all
dead serious.
One-man band here.
I've been doing this since before March Madness happened.
True, you have been. You've been consistent. Consistent.
I don't know how that makes me phony.
Jerry likes you.
I know he does. I love Jerry. I love me some Jerry Zagoda.
He loves you.
Love
he
me
hates
some Jerry
me
Zagoda.
Now. I'm
no,
sure he thinks
doesn't.
I'm a phony, and he couldn't have been more right. But anyway.
Okay.
I just think that... Mike Tice. And what do we have?
Well, let's talk about this Mike Tice lawsuit.
There's a pretty big story here.
There is. And you get a little background here for you. So you got to go. It's kind of a three-step deal. So back in 2011, there was a lawsuit that was filed by, I think it was 12 players or 8 players, that filed a claim, bought Toradol, which is an anti-inflammatory, and they claimed that they were, falsely given this under false pretenses and excuses and reasons and pressures and everything else. So they brought this claim back in 2011, and their claim was that it masked the effects of concussions, and that was their lawsuit. Well, then when, the concussion settlement came back this last year, and that kind of got sucked into that.
Yep.
That settlement. So that one kind of dwarfed away, but it kind of set the tone for this theory of making claims that the drug abuse issues are really tied to NFL management. So then in 2014, 8 players and some big names, Jim McMahon, Richard Dent, they brought a claim saying that, again, we were kind of tricked into forced, coerced to take these things, play when we shouldn't play, and now we've got a lot of problems because of this. That lawsuit got dismissed last November. The judge saying that that was a claim of negligence. You were saying they were sloppy, they were doing things they shouldn't, and therefore that's really part of the collective bargaining agreement. So your lawsuit is, you got a fight maybe, but it's in the wrong place. You should be fighting with them in the collective bargaining agreement and through arbitration and all that good stuff. Don't be in a federal lawsuit. So that's what happened there. They got knocked out last year. So now what's happened is yesterday, hundreds of former players have kind of taken that lawsuit from McMahon and Dent and tweaked it and said, instead of negligence, it's intentional. You intentionally did this, all 32 teams. You intentionally went out, planned to do this, intended to deceive us, intended to commit fraud on us, lied to us about how bad our injuries are, lied to us about the side effects of these drugs, and now have caused us all these horrible, horrible problems. So they're trying to get around this dismissal that happened last year by a different theory of the law, that's an intentional crime rather than a negligent crime. So that's kind of where it's going to go.
Wow. But how would these coaches intentionally, and I know
how did
some
they prove it?
Well, how did they said, what was it, Mike Tyson, Mike Holmgren, there were Don Shula, some of these players saying.
Wade Font
saying some of the, that they were saying, you either take this or we cut you.
Right. And so that's just testimony. Just like I can say, you know, I was in a meeting with Tyson, and I'm telling you in closed doors under oath, I swear to pinky swear here that that Tyson told me that if I didn't take these drugs and I get back on the field, that I'd be cut or I'd be benched. And what I did a little checking on, because I thought, okay, this is kind of an interesting concept in theory, but you look at the time frame of this, because as I said, a few numbers, you got, you know, Don Shula back with the 70s and the Dolphins, you got Howard Schnellenberger was the Colts in 73, and had actually been with Dolphins as the head of the offensive in 72, so you got the 70s covered there, you got Wayne Fonts, 80 to 96 with the Lions, you got Holmgren, 92 to 98 with the Packers, and Tice, 2002 to 2005 with the Vikings, so we're going, what, from 72 all the way up to 2005? Huge time span for what you do.
I'd say, and it's...
You know, usually things like that would be kicked out. Usually you can't bring a lawsuit for something that happened 20, 30 years ago. A statute of limitations, that's too long ago. You can't have to, not fair to have to fight over something I can barely remember. But if it's something I shouldn't have known it was an action, I didn't know I had a lawsuit until recently. So you're right. This happened to me back in, you know, let's say the 70s with the Colts. I didn't know I had a claim back then because everybody was lying to me. So now that I've learned the real facts that they did know about this stuff or that these do have side effects, these drugs, now I have a certain window of time to bring a lawsuit. So that's kind of the theory they're trying to pigeonhole us all into.
Interesting. It really is.
So for the guys that don't get the concussion settlements, they're going to try to get some money through this. And it was really kind of amazing, and I'd really like to get superstars' feedback on this. So they did a survey here this last year and found that over 50% of all the players that played during their careers have said that they used prescription painkilling drugs. And most of those, the majority, well over 70%, said that there was drug abuse going on with that. And most of those all said that they got their drugs not from the team doctors, but from, you know, other people, coaches and trainers. And so I just want to get your, you know, you look back on the locker room, how many, again, you don't know exactly, but does that kind of fit with the vibe that you say half the guys out there were abusing the stuff?
I, you know, I'll never know if they abused it or not, but everyone needed to take something for pain. I know that that was the case. It was the most common thing that runs through the football team is pain.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the way it is. And you either can deal with it and not take it, or find a way to curb it, or, you know, at least take the edge off.
Yeah.
Now, abuse is a different thing. I don't know about that. I don't think that's a really big number.
Right.
I think 70% is a big number for abuse. I don't know about that. But I think it's sometimes it takes a while for them to want to come off of it and come back to something more mild, like your usual, you know, Aleve or Advil or whatever, and get off the big stuff because you feel better. It just makes your body feel better. And so you don't want to come back.
Well, it's kind of interesting because the NFL made a real subtle change this last year to their drug policy of what they do. And I don't know if you want, maybe we'll chat about that in a minute, but it's, they basically now have said you can't, you know how they did the raids back in November where they did with the 49ers and what, a couple other teams that they did, Seahawks, Tampa Bay, that now they can't travel with those painkillers and have them in unstored areas in the locker rooms. Now, and a traveling team now has to get their drugs from a local doctor. If they go in and they need more painkillers, they got to get them from a local doctor. They just can't go to the trainer for the other team like they were doing and go, hey, open up your locker and get
hold that thought. That's a good thing to talk about, too. We'll come back with another segment with Mr. Marsh Hallberg.
Here's Sports Radio 105, The Ticket on iHeartRadio.
You put it in there gently.
I'd say so.
Or painkillers.
That's terrible.
I feel we should be so serious when that music comes on. It's like, you know, Joe Friday kind of serious.
That's the last thing we do on this radio show is be serious. Right, KG?
Hell no.
Oh, come on.
Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
I have no explanation for what happened. I've handled dozens of balls.
Can only imagine.
I just want to thank each and every one of y'all. For all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it.
Because people like to say salsa.
I do.
I love saying salsa.
You want me to say it?
Yeah.
Salsa.
Ben, I have a driving tip for you on the way home tonight. There's nobody on the road at all tonight, yeah. So just feel free to like drive all over the city because there's no traffic out there at all right now. It's good. Nobody's going anywhere. Nobody's going to a cabin. It's just light traffic out there.
Really?
Yeah.
Easy going.
As I was leaving CHS Field yesterday, and this has happened to me as a motorcycle rider, driver, I took a left turn onto, I think it was 5th or 7th or 10th or one of the streets down there in St. Paul. There's so many damn streets that it's hard to keep track of which one. But I took a left, and the traffic coming towards me just had a green light, and this motorcycle guy didn't know there was a cop behind him, and he let it rip. He was about to get on 94, but a couple of blocks away, he had a Harley and just loud and went like that. Cops weren't so happy behind him.
They
got him.
They stopped him?
Yeah. They got him.
Pipes drilled out.
That's happened to me before. I was at a stoplight with my then girlfriend on the back. It turned green, and I got to third gear in 75 miles per hour in a 35. And then, needless to say, there was a cop behind me in an unmarked car. That didn't work out
By the way, it's unmarked. It's
yeah, didn't work out. But I didn't get a ticket.
Yeah. So CHS, I know it's like one of the biggest companies in the world, and it's an agricultural co-op. Mm-hmm. What does CHS stand for?
Can't tell you that right now.
I don't know.
I don't either. I still don't, after talking with...
We'll make something up.
One of the VPs yesterday.
Community Health Systems?
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Country Hick.
Circus.
Carolina's Healthcare System. Chaska High School.
That's it. Chaska High School. Chaska.
Charleston International Airport? No, I have no idea. I mean, I'm on their website right now. It doesn't say.
Who did we have on yesterday?
The HR.
Adam Holton.
Adam Holton.
Next time, ask them. Because they have the About Us on their website, and it doesn't say what their name stands for.
600,000 farmers along in that co-op.
That is a lot of corn.
That's a hell of a lot of corn right there. You think it ain't?
I think it is.
I think it is, too.
Let's talk about drugs again, because we got to get to this video game thing because I might be going back to school, guys.
You should. It's not too late for you.
Full ride.
A letter jacket. Chicks will love it.
Like those letter jackets that Letterman gave out to his staff. $60,000 for new letter jackets to say goodbye. Pretty nice gesture. Yeah. I would never do that for my staff.
It's maybe because you're a jerk. That's why Mike Tyson hated you.
I should say I am.
If you'd given Mike Tyson a letter jacket, he would have loved you. But no jacket. You weren't foresight on that.
What a slap nut.
Okay.
CHS is the legal name of our company. It is not an acronym. The current company was formed in 1998 through the merger of cooperatives Harvest States and Cenex.
Got cooperative it. Harvest.
No, Cenex Harvest.
States.
States.
Got it.
You'll be quizzed on this later.
Just so you know. Let's talk about drugs.
Okay, drugs. So the interesting thing, like I said, before we went to break, that it seems like this is a case that's spanning 20, 30 plus years. And the value of this case, the last two lawsuits have had, eight people in one and 12 players in the other. This has got hundreds in it. So they got a little push more behind them. I realize they're working with attorneys probably on a contingent where they're going to take a big percentage, probably 40% of any take they get at the end. So the lawyers win. But there's still costs that